Amen. I was hard to believe saved over 3 decades ago. And up in the Northland where I'm from, in the 70s and 80s, there was a big, big ingathering. In fact, in the 60s, a preacher was in a preacher's meeting in Texas. I just learned this a month ago, how our church that we all were saved in, our original church up there in Rochester, got started. A preacher was in a preacher's meeting, and a preacher got up there preaching to the other preachers, and he said, there's 2 places I wouldn't start a church. He said, hell and Rochester, New York. And man, this preacher sitting out there, this preacher from Texas, he couldn't let that go. And for 2 weeks, he finally pulled over to the side of the road, and he surrendered. And God worked, and there was every service people were being saved. You wonder who was going to be called to the mission field tonight. And now I see that generation getting a little older has been alluded to a couple times here. And I'm myself starting to feel some aches and pains. You know, you wake up in the morning and you say, what did I do to my shoulder? And then by the end of the day, it doesn't hurt. And the next day you say, what did I do to my elbow? And what used to be pimples are now growths. But I look around at our kids and I see our kids getting married and I see our grandchildren coming along. And as I look at those coming behind, I wonder what they're going to do. I wonder what they're going to do with the gospel. I wonder what they're going to do with missions. I wonder what they're going to do with standards. I wonder what they're going to do with the church. And that scenario sort of mirrors 2 Timothy here. Paul is ready to be offered. He's sort of on his way out, and obviously not including the inspiration and preservation of the Scriptures that we still have us with us today. The best days of his earthly ministry are probably behind him, while he writes to a young man whose best days are probably ahead of him. And here's what he says in verse 3. He says, for the time will come. And before I start, I'll just say, they have long come. He said, for the time will come when they. God always drawn a contrast. There's a lot of divides in America, and it seems like the more they cry about the divides, the wider the divides get. But God always has an us and a they. And it's either saved or unsaved. And within the saved, it's either you're either right with God or you're not right with God. And Paul wasn't afraid to say that. And he said, for the time will come when they will not endure. In other words, they're going to go good for a while. But as we say up there, then it's going to go south. You probably say down here, then it's going to go north. But tonight I want to hone in on that word, endure. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but I wonder tonight how many have been at this thing long enough to realize sometimes after a while it's about endurance. And I know we preach against, well, you shouldn't endure it, you should enjoy it. But you know, really, the newness of the Bible truths. You remember going through the Bible, could you imagine a 26-year Roman Catholic reading for the first time, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus? Can you imagine a 26-year Roman Catholic reading when she says, blessed are the papists, and he says, who's my mother? And you know how many hairs is in the nose of the Antichrist, and you know, Barney and the trolls, you know, they were the Antichrist, and we was throwing our Cabbage Patch dolls into, and you were hearing all these new truths. You're making big decisions. You're throwing out your television. You're dumping the whiskey down the drain. But those days are gone. And I'm not saying it's gone for the new crowd. I'm talking about it's gone for the guy that's 20 miles into a 26-mile marathon. And at this stage of the game, it's not all about getting in, it's about staying in. It's not all about starting the race, it's about finishing the race. You know, when you get old, it ain't about growing anymore, it's about staying alive. And a couple years ago, in the pit of despair that I've been in a few times, and I'm not a book reader outside of these 66 right here. My wife is a bookworm, and every once in a while she says,
you'd like this one.
And one of those books was Unbroken. Louise Zamperini, marathon Olympic runner, and just a lost heathen, ended up shot down and floated in the Pacific Ocean for 40 days and ended up in a Japanese concentration camp and just an unbelievable, ended up getting saved under Billy Graham. Well, after I sent him that book, he sent me a book called Endurance. He said, "You ever read Endurance?" Endurance is a Ernest Shackleton, 1914, 1917, in there. He was an Antarctic explorer. Man, and I read that book, and it's funny, I don't read other books, but when I get one like this, I can't put it down. And I looked up and I found a documentary. And I watched just one documentary. If you go on YouTube, there's a documentary. You got to get the right one. It's this British-looking guy with the big, thick, brushy eyebrows with some books behind him. And it's an hour and 37 minutes and 52 seconds. And if you'll watch that and you'll look past the facts of the expedition, you'll see life. And if you're a preacher, you'll see ministry. And if you had ministry, you'll see problems, you'll see rebellion, you'll see church, you'll see hard decisions, you'll see leadership, you'll see fellowship, you'll see setbacks, you'll see failures, you'll see shattered dreams, you'll see future glory, and you will see the name of the ship, Endurance. And I've sobbed through that thing four times. He put an ad in the paper in 1914. Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. And they said he had thousands apply for that. And 22 men sent out to stick a flag in a snowbank to gain a corruptible crown. And I don't know what you're going through this evening. And I don't know what awaits you when you get back from this meeting. And I don't know where you are on your journey. But if you don't need it now, put it in the coffers of your heart. Because I promise you, you'll need it someday. God told Ezekiel to ask His people a question. Can thine heart endure? Or can thine hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? I'm going to take a verse totally out of context when Matthew says, "He that shall endure to the end shall be saved." And what I'm going to talk about tonight is not to be saved from a tribulation or saved for a time period or saved from hell or saved from death. I'm talking about being saved from shipwreck with endurance, saving your testimony with endurance, saving your family, saving your ministry, saving you from shipwreck and breaking and brokenness. Endure. To last. To continue in the same state without perishing. To suffer without yielding. To support without breaking. The old preacher is telling the young preacher the time's going to come when they're not going to endure. Imagine him saying, "What am I going to have to endure?" 2 Timothy chapter 2, that's what we'll look at tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness." Now, you're not going to get this at the Chuck E. Cheese church. I thought it was going to be easy when I got saved. I'm going to go into the ministry and be a pastor. When my kids say, "Dad, I thought," I say, "Naaman thought. You thought wrong. What you thought was not what God said. We are in a war, and war is hard." And I'll take another one out of context. In the last days, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And we know historically and doctrinally, you know, that's Russia and the beast and the bear and Mideast and all that stuff. But is it my imagination, or is there more wars and rumors of wars in our churches, in our marriages, among our missionaries, and in our ministries? And in our own flesh? We're in a war, and war is hard. And if you're going to continue in the same state without breaking, you're going to have to endure hardness. My daughter Deborah got married last August, and we had a rough winter this year. Of course, they're newly married. You know, they're driving a jalopy around, and she does some nanny work. And twice in a week, she gets caught in a storm on the side of the highway with a flat tire. And she's freezing in that car. And we got a family text thread that our kids all over the country and everywhere, and we're always putting stuff in there. And here's what she texted. The second time, waiting for the tow truck in the blizzard in Rochester, New York in February. Can I just come home and be a little girl again? This real life is hard. And there's times that marriage is hard, and child rearing is hard, and pastoring is hard. And if you're going to get all in, and you're going to finish the race, you must, warning, endure hardness. James 1. Now, this don't sound like a real blessing to me, but this is what God calls it, so I guess we got to go along with it. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. The Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, and if you're going to make it in this race, you're going to have to endure temptation. You ever wonder why it's so easily tempted? You know why? Because, and I couldn't think of a sin that isn't, but just to be safe, I'll say almost all sin is something God designed to be good, a little bit twisted, a little bit inordinate, or a little bit in excess. Pick your sin. You want to pick slothfulness? The sleep of a laboring man shall be sweet. I read an article, I'm sure this is due to the evolutionary process, that when you sleep, The fluids in your body literally wash your brain cells. It's like resetting a computer. That's why you feel refreshed when you wake up. But it says washing your brain cells, not soaking your brain cells. See, sleeping in excess becomes slothfulness. Pick your topic. Intimacy? Yeah, God invented it. And I'm glad. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's a blessed thing, and with the wrong person, it's sin. Talking. You ever think about talking? Fellowshipping? Conversing? You ever think about how fine a line we walk when we talk? You talk to the pastor, it's a blessing. You talk about the pastor, and God hates it if it includes discord. Eating, working, making money, all designed to and ordained to by God to be a blessing, but twisted, inordinate, or in excess. And you think you're going to be a Christian with no temptation? I've seen a sign that said Black Lives Matter, and then I saw another sign that said Blue Lives Matter. Let me tell you, to sin, to temptation, all lives matter. Temptation is an equal opportunity employer. I used to hear this. Right doctrine produces right living. Then how come the guy that taught me right doctrine hit the skids? And how come the other guy that dotted his doctrinal I's and crossed his doctrinal T's is sitting in a jail cell tonight? Temptation don't care if you're KJV. I don't want to kill the meeting here. But temptation don't care if you're gap or no gap or your position on Old Testament salvation or how many hairs are in the nose of the Antichrist. Temptation don't care how long you've been in the ministry. Some of you know Jimmy Hood? I remember Jimmy Hood telling. Jimmy Hood's an old man. He's with the Lord now. But at the time, he was probably 50. And a young man sat down with him and said, "Preacher," he told us this story. He said, "Preacher, I've been struggling with temptation. Looking at the girls. No, I know that's foreign to all you men here. This is Florida." But he said, "I'm struggling looking at the girls, and I can't wait till I get old like you so I can rid myself of this temptation." And Jimmy, you know, he got a couple of teeth up front. And he said, he rough character, man. He got saved. He was a biker. He said, "Sit down, young man." He said, "Let me tell you something." He says, "When you're 20, the 20-year-olds look good. He said, when you're 30, the 30 and the 20-year-olds look good. And he said, and he went through that thing, he said, no, you're really stiff tonight. He said, when you're my age, the grannies look good. An old preacher told me young, all the old men downside, I say, you got a witness. You know, an old preacher says, son, when you turn 40, you better put your seatbelt on and not take it off till you're 65. You want help with temptation? Listen. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps. You want help with temptation? Suffer. See, here's what we do. Oh, Lord, please take away the temptation to eat this fourth cup of gelato. Please take it away. Please take it away. He's not taking it away. No, suffer. I'm not going to use the other examples I was going to use. I don't think you could take it. If you're going to continue without petering out, you're going to have to endure hardness. You're going to have to endure temptation. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Sometime you're just going to have to suffer. And you're going to be tempted and you're going to have to endure it. Verse 5. Old preacher talking to the young preacher. But watch thou in all things endure. Say it with me. Afflictions. Webster said that's a state of pain or distress of body or mind as sickness, losses, calamity, adversity, persecution. And here's the blessed psalm. We love the psalms, you know. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I said to the Lord today, well, I don't feel real afflicted. And He said, what's that telling you? So much for Robert Schuller in the Crystal Palace. Something good's going to happen to you today. My pastor used to say, something bad's going to happen to you today. I don't get surprised when I get a flat tire. I get surprised when I don't. I almost got knocked out of the race when I lost my son to this world. I got 9 children, 8 girls and 1 boy, the onion and the tulip patch, and I love him, and he didn't leave with malice. He just said, Dad, you did it, I'm doing it. I said, son, for everyone that comes back, 1,000 hit the skids. But brother, when you're in DeLand, Florida, and you don't go hear James Knox on a Thursday night, I was so hurting. I was so broken. And you know why? Expectations will kill you. It upended me. It offended me. It shocked me. It surprised me. Because I believed my philosophy that if I do this, I went to the family conference and they said if I do this, this will happen and this will happen and this will happen. And then I read where God said, I have nourished and raised up children and they rebelled against me. I'm not surprised now that I lost a son. I'm surprised I ain't lost all of them with this monster those poor kids have to live with. If Paul preached any gospel, it was an affliction gospel. It wasn't a prosperity gospel. In labors more abundant, in stripes, in prisons, in deaths, in beaten with rods, shipwreck, a day and a night in the deep, perils of the waters, perils of the robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of the heathen, perils of the city, perils of the wilderness. It's no wonder he said in the last days, perilous times shall come. He didn't just write it, he lived it. Weariness, painfulness, watchings. What does Osteen do with this? Hunger and thirst. Fasting's often. We didn't have to worry about that today. Cold and nakedness. And this, I like what he says here. Beside those things that are without, I'll give you the Camilleri translation. I got to put up with yous. The care of all the churches. Enduring affliction. Here's what Moses said, just to the cousin verse to this. Moses said to the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor? What did I do wrong that thou layest the burden of all these people upon me? Like a bunch of babies. You preach for 20 years not to get offended. One thing happens, they get offended. See ya. Whatever happened to Jesus? Paul said, who's weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended? That's not a prosperity. That's an affliction gospel. We got to see life through the Bible or expectations will knock us out of the race. You can endure hardness. You're going to have to endure temptation. You're going to have to endure affliction. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 3. Full circle. For the time will come when they will not endure. Say it with me. Sound doctrine. Funny, we've been talking a little bit about the rapture. Man, when I got saved, Brother Jay told me he's coming on a cloudy day because it says he's coming in the clouds. Well, we live in Rochester, New York, second most cloudy days outside of Seattle, Washington in the country. Every day. I was living like Mother Teresa, man. I was so good. I was ready. We used to have rapture practice. Rapture practice! Woo! And everybody would jump out. I wonder now what you do if you believe we're going through the tribulation. Rapture practice. Ah! Jump out of it. I mean, you can't even talk about the rapture no more. I wonder what his position is. You got a mumsy poops around. But that's an interesting phrase. Endure. They will not endure sound doctrine. You know why? Because the pressure on the church, the preacher in the church, the parent in the home, and the believer in the world is great to give in to what people want to hear. You guys have been in our church. You see our music program. I don't know how many's up there, but there's a bunch in that orchestra. We could have special groups up sing for 2 months and not have the same group twice. Can you imagine what we could do if we just shortened up the skirts a little bit and tightened up and did a little Tammy. Tammy, why not? We'd be better than 99% of the mega churches in this country with the talent we have in our church. But that ain't enduring sound doctrine. That's giving them what they want. And that's what the old preacher is warning the young preacher. He said they're not going to endure. The pressure is great. Look at 4:2. Preach the word. And then look at 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves. Does it say preachers? No, it says teachers. And there's a time for teaching. We know that. That's scriptural. But they ain't calling for preachers. Those that won't endure call for teach me. Teach me something. Teach me the unconditional love of Jesus. But don't preach to me that I'm dressed like a whore. Teach me that Jesus fed the poor and that He sat with publicans and sinners. But don't preach to me not to be conformed to this world. You think running a 26.2 marathon is hard? You think an Ironman is hard? You think that new diet you're on is hard? You try to stick with separation, sanctification, holiness, public ministry, let a man be a man, and let a woman be a woman, and there are certain things men can do, and there are certain things women can't do. And old fashioned, you're going to have to learn something about enduring sound doctrine. Make it to that finish line, you have to endure hardness, temptation, affliction, sound doctrine. Hebrews 12. Verse 7. If ye endure, say it with me, chastening. Children, let me talk to you a little bit. We call this a number 6. You know, time out. Yeah, time out. 6. 1, 2, 3. Anyways, the devil wants chastening to turn you bitter. God wants it to turn you better. If you endure chastening, He dealeth with you as with sons. Church member, you've been disciplined. We've had to do a little bit of it. I know it's not popular today. But there comes a time, preachers, when you got to say, the way we say it, well, not what we think. You got to go, pal. I gave you warning after warning after warning after warning, and we got to cast out the scorner so that strife will go out with them. Now call me when you get right with God. And you know what that is? Listen, listen. That's God's final step of reconciliation. That's not something to destroy you. So when you mess up, fess up, get up. Don't blame, well, they never did this, and my parents did this. No, I am wrong. Please forgive me. You'd be surprised how much grace you'd get from that preacher. I'm going to make it in this marathon without suffering shipwreck and quitting and cracking. Hardness, temptation, affliction, sound doctrine, chastening. Peter said you're going to endure grief. Good grief! No such thing. Unless you endure it. Most people, when they're hurt, they take that hurt and they hurt others. Don't let your hurt hurt others. Let your hurt help others. He kind of sums it up when he says to the young preacher in 2 Timothy 2, endure all things. Kind of depressing. Like, I didn't sign up for this. I thought something good was going to happen. And it did. And there's been times, three major times. One was so bad I can't even remember what it was over. But I want to take my ball and go home. You ever want to take your ball and go home? I've had it. Here's the only trouble. The Bible doesn't say that the godly man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. The Bible doesn't say that the churchgoer that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It just says everybody. So here's what you're going to do if you take your ball and go home, because you're offended. You're going to find out there, you're still going to have it rough. You still have to endure. You still have to endure. Only without the brethren. Now, I know what you're thinking. Thank God. So there's been times I've said the world treated me better. That's what the devil wants you to think. You're going to get out there and you're going to have to find your face in the same things in this world without the preaching, without the Bible, without the blessings and favor of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. So you run in the 20th mile, and the cheers seem to be fainting, and the voice inside saying, stop! Quit! It's not worth it! What's the remedy? Hebrews chapter 11. Here's what one guy did. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, speaking of Moses. By faith he forsook Egypt. You know why some of you kids can't forsake Egypt? You don't have no faith. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. That's another reason you can't forsake Egypt, because you're afraid what your carnal friends would think. How about you be afraid what God would think? That's one thing coming up in the world. I didn't care what you thought before I got saved, and I didn't care what you thought after. Look what Moses did, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured, how, Brent? As seeing him who is invisible. And you're not going to see him on your smartphone. And you're not going to see it on Fleshbook. And you're not going to see it on Snapchat. And you're not going to see it with the 50,000 pictures of your friends. You're going to see it in here. You're going to see it in here. And you're going to see it in your prayer closet. And we need to see him more than ever before if we're going to endure that out there. Listen, the further it gets into the race, for me, I don't know about these other men, sometimes the harder it is to see him. You've got so much other stuff distracting you. But you can't just see him. Look at Hebrews 12. You can't just see him.
Hebrews 12 and verse 3. What's it say? Consider him. Consider him. Consider him what? That endured. You want a boost for the last mile? You know what I found in my little study preparing here? You know what he endured? Every single one of them things that he's asking us to endure. And I think it was his whole ministry, but the cross in his 26th mile was like a microcosm of the endurance that our Lord culminated on that cross. We could start with hardness. You heard the message the other night. Do we need a verse to tell us that enduring the cross was hard? Endure temptation, Timothy. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And I got to thinking, oh man, that must have been something when the devil tempted him. That must have been something when young man, temptation is not sin. You better get that. Oh, I'm always tempted! Yeah, but if you endure temptation, you receive a crown. It's when you yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Don't let temptation defeat you. Christ was tempted. I wonder how much of the temptation to come down from that cross. Endure affliction. Smitten of God and afflicted. We heard it the other night. Endure chastening. The chastisement of our peace was on him. Endure grief. A man of sorrows, acquainted in grief. And Isaiah 53 said he bore our griefs. Now that's good grief. On our part, not for him. Endure sound doctrine. I got thinking, Lord, how did you endure sound doctrine? You know how many doctrines hung in the balances as he hung on the cross? Salvation, blood atonement, all them prophecies. He endured sound doctrine because he finished. But enduring, that don't sound real. Man, is that all this is about, is enduring? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, there's the looking. Remember, we're considering the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, say it, endured. You know why he endured all that he asks us to endure? For the same reason that every marathon runner keeps going. Every Ironman participant keeps swimming. The reason Ernest Shackleton, the men were pulling their toes off with their boots with the frostbite. The reason the mountain climber keeps climbing, the deer hunter freezes in the stand, and every Olympian keeps going for the finish line. That's why we endure. Listen, you know what the joy for Jesus was? The rising from the dead. Like the preacher said, satisfying the Father, obtaining our salvation, and one day he's going to get a kingdom for what he endured. Can I remind us today, and I'm preaching at me, this isn't heaven. Expectations will kill you. In this world, you're going to have tribute. Why is my baby sick? Because this isn't heaven. Why did my spouse die? Because this isn't heaven. Why did my son go to the world? Because this isn't heaven. Why do the church people act this way? Because this isn't heaven. How could a pastor ever do that? Because this isn't heaven. This is the race, not the finish line. This is the war, not the ticker tape parade. That's to come. And as for now, there will come a time when they will not endure. But as for them, there's coming a time out there later when nobody, we're not going to have to endure. It's going to be over. It's going to be finished. All the things that Jesus asks us to endure, he endured them. Now, would you rather run a marathon race with a newbie or somebody that's run it before? And the one that ran it, and the one that endured, and the one that is finished is in you if you're saved, and He's with you if you're saved, and He's for you if you're saved. The old man's telling the young man it's going to be a falling out. They're going to be not enduring, implying you need to, but thou endure. Keep your head up. Play hurt. Put one foot in front of the other, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. Paul said, they do it for a corruptible crown. And if Ernest Shackleton could do it to stick a flag in a snowbank, and an Olympian runner can do it for a piece of metal hung around their neck, and Louis Zamperini can float in the Pacific Ocean for 40 days for it only to get worse after, we can endure all things for Jesus Christ's sake. You can make it.